Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and my guest today is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to talk today about a process called Up With Gravity, which we've both been using. It's a product of mine, but Imogen has been experimenting with it. And we're going to talk about specifically how negative Alexander technique directions can complement and enhance the Up With Gravity process. And Imogen is actually going to interview me for this podcast, so I'm going to turn it over to her.
Well, hi, Robert.
Oh, hi. I'm glad to be on your show.
Why don't you just start with maybe explaining what negative directions are, just briefly?
Yeah, I'll provide a very short description, but there are longer audio interviews and texts, and we'll reference all of that. So if you think of the classic Alexander technique direction, say, regarding your neck, would be something like, I'm allowing my neck to be free. And that's pretty classic, letting my neck be free, allowing my neck to be free. Alexander teachers will place a lot of emphasis on the word let or allow. It's certainly a big step up from I am freeing my neck, which some teachers, I believe, use as well. In my view, an even better version, and we owe this to Missy Vineyard, is something along the lines, I am not tensing my neck. And the reason why this negative version of an Alexander direction is so powerful in my experience, really two reasons. One, it does not assume anything about your inherent abilities that aren't true. You know how to tense your neck. I've never met a student who couldn't tense their neck. And I've never met a student who didn't know what no means. So basically you're using the abilities that you have or your students have. You're not assuming they know how to let their neck be free or how to free their neck. You're asking them to say to themselves, I am not. So it's an I am not statement. And then tensing my neck. And the word tensing can be replaced with all sorts of things, squeezing, tightening, whatever. And the neck can be replaced with things like my torso, my shoulders, or one of my favorites, myself. So that's your basic idea of negative directions. I'm not really trying to go into them in great detail, but they are growing in popularity.
Population, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I find them very useful, just generally. So maybe now you could just briefly, again, there are other resources for this, but maybe briefly explain what Up With Gravity is and then go on to maybe look at how that Up With Gravity process can be combined with this idea of giving yourself negative directions.
Okay. And for the Up With Gravity, I'm just going to give a very brief overview. There is a website that has a series of short lessons that anyone can learn this in a short period of time. But it's basically, I would describe it in part as just accurate mapping of how gravity works on you, and specifically where your center of gravity is located, which when you're standing, for example, is a couple of inches below your navel. When you're sitting, there's a relevant center of gravity for moving back and forth on the chair that's somewhere around the bottom of your sternum. There are, in fact, also centers of gravities for various limbs. Many Alexander teachers are familiar with center of gravity of the head, which is located right behind your eyes, basically, and is forward and up from where your head moves on your spine. And there are ways to use that information to enhance the quality of your posture and movement. The first way,
Could you just give us maybe a simple example?
Well, the simplest example is just know if you know where it is, and I provide some ways of accessing it using very simple imagery. Just having your awareness on it makes an immediate change. You can run a little experiment for yourself that I describe in the very first lesson. But the real meat of it is if you know where your center of gravity is, you can move it and direct it through space. So when you're walking, you simply say, you instead of thinking, well, I'm walking, you could think, well, I'm simply moving my center of gravity through space. And when it's time to turn it, I'm rotating an arrow that runs through it, for example, various things like that. That I think most people can. I find that students of mine can pick this up almost instantly, for the most part.
Yeah, I find it's
really quick,
very accessible.
It's incredibly accessible. And then the next stage after you learn how to direct it and is to start manipulating it, that is actually lifting it. You can lift it and you'll notice that your walking becomes usually a bit lighter and your breathing is freer and all sorts of things like that. And it is kind of, you might say, the Alexander version of standing up straight. Most people, when they stand up straight, lift their chest and hollow their backs. This is lifting the thing that really should be lifted, which is your center of gravity. And again, I'm covering this very, very quickly.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
A lot more
we'll
detail.
Link to your site where they can go through all the lessons about
right.
it and everything.
And both the lifting.
What I've noticed with my students where I introduce this idea of lifting, that there actually are some challenges involved with that. And I think that's probably where the interplay of negative directions might be most useful. But maybe you could speak to that.
Well, the main challenge on the lifting is to be absolutely clear what it is you're lifting and to not confuse that with the side effects. So if I decide I'm standing, say, and I'm going to lift my center of gravity, of course, stuff changes elsewhere. And if your idea of standing up straight is a little lifting of your chest, a little kind of reflexive lifting of your chest, you might slip in some extra stuff that isn't going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. So the trick is, and I think you in an earlier conversation we had offline said it's a kind of an inhibition process. That is, you're making a choice of what you're going to lift, which means you're not lifting other things.
It seems to me when I've worked with it myself and with my students, I have to be very clear on what I'm not doing, which basically is, yes, I'm not lifting with my shoulders or my neck or anything. I'm purely allowing that lift to go on some sort of engagement in the abdominal area.
Exactly.
Basically, that's doing that just a little bit of whatever. So anyway, go on.
It is an engagement in the abdominal area, but it's not a classic
tightening
your abs at all.
Normal sort of way.
Right.
Anyway.
And the thing that makes it tricky is that when you do lift your center, things like your shoulders do shift. All sorts of things change. And you want to be careful that you don't get too sucked into them and start manipulating them.
Yeah.
So that's a slight challenge, but I would say it's not a huge challenge. It's you have to be a little bit aware and conscious. But this takes me actually to the third stage. Now, we're doing this interview in early February 2013. I haven't yet actually written out the lessons for this, but I thought it was time to put it out on the site in some form. When you talk about lifting something, I think a lot of people in the Alexander world get a little concerned. It certainly sounds like doing. And, you know, Alexander teachers, I think you could see how an Alexander teacher might be a little bit concerned.
I think you have to make it clear that that's what you're doing, and then you can apply Alexander technique to whatever that doing.
Which is
what the Alexander technique is.
Exactly. But I would say, first of all, as a first approximation for making a useful change, the pure lifting without any Alexander self-directing is pretty darn powerful and can make a huge difference in your life. But there is another level, which I found negative directions that we talked about before are just the absolute perfect complement to this. The issue is here that there are kind of two ways you can go about this, and each one has a certain advantage and a certain disadvantage. The first way is you could, and I kind of recommend this way for starters, is you could lift your center of gravity as is described in the lessons, and then maybe experiment a little bit with that in walking or standing, and then add to that a second thought along the lines of, I am not compressing myself. That's kind of my favorite one these days.
Yeah, I like that one too.
It's a very overall negative direction. Mm-hmm. I'm not compressing myself. And then sort of softly let the lifting intent fade away, but continue with the I'm not compressing myself. And what most people find is that there is a little shift when they let go of the lifting part of their intention, but they don't go sinking back to where they were. They remain lifted, but they are not lifting themselves.
Nice, huh?
And here's the thing. If you lift your center of gravity, the only way that can actually happen in you is either everything above the center has to expand, or everything below has to contract, or some combination of the two. I mean, that's just the physics of it. And typically what happens when you lift your center of gravity, your legs take on an area below your center of gravity, so you're a good part of your pelvic area, and your legs tend to get a little better tone in them. You may notice that the weight's coming down on your feet in a slightly different way.
I often notice a bit of a freeing up in the hip joints.
Yeah, a freeing up. And also, everything above your center has to, there's going to be a general expansion. And the way that manifests itself most obviously at times is in your breathing, which typically gets a bit freer. There's often if you had been slumping before, that slump tends to become much less. If you had been over straightening, that over straightening diminishes. So you're in a better place. You're doing it by this lifting. So it's work. It's a bit of work, not a lot, but it's a little bit of work. And now if you overlap that with a thought, I'm not compressing myself, and then sort of let the two coexist for a second or two, maybe, and then let go of the lifting part. Yes, there'll be a little shift, a little rearrangement, but as I said, you will remain lifted. You will be lifted because if you're really clear that you're not compressing if I'm really clear that I'm not compressing myself, I can't go back to where I was.
Mm-hmm.
That's that's
nice.
It's incredibly light and powerful direction to apply in that lifted situation. Mm-hmm. So I use that all the time, and maybe I'll go through the other way of approaching this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I often use, and I think maybe this is your other way, is including the direction, I'm not pulling down my center of gravity.
That's one that I use as well. I'm not pulling my center down. If you're standing or walking, you could start by lifting your center, do a little walking, and then just overlap that lifting with, I'm not pulling my center down, let go of the lifting. And again, you get the same sort of result.
Mm-hmm. I found over time, I don't know if you found this yourself or your students, that I can almost go straight to, I'm not pulling down my center.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that all means now. My body understands
right.
that rather than having to go through.
Yeah, actually.
I mean, not all it's. Do you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
What do you think of that?
I think you can even start with that as an experiment. If you know where your center of gravity is, and again, probably best to check out the information on the site, and go start walking, and then shift into the intention, I'm not pulling my center of gravity down, and see what happens. Because typically when people walk, they get a little heavy in themselves when their foot comes down. You know, there's a little internal collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say a little pulling down in front every time a foot comes down. Well, if you're absolutely clear that you're not pulling your center down, then that collapse, which would be part of pulling it down,
sure. mm-hmm.
can't happen. The thing I want to talk about, add to this briefly, is in this first example, there's this overlap. So I'm lifting and then I'm overlapping. And the reason why that, I think, is really helpful for people at the beginning is that in general, it's a lot tougher to have two directions going or two intents going at the same time than one. It's a lot more than twice as difficult for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just in general with Alexander directing of any kind, you really want to choose your intervention points carefully, because you don't have a lot to work with. Because if you get more than, for most people, more than two is really, really tricky. Most of us can only keep 7 ± 2 ideas going at any one time, and a lot of those have to be devoted to other things. So you don't want to overload your system with multiple directions. However, But on the other hand, overlapping a couple of directions for a few seconds, most people find fairly easy to do. Now, the more elegant way of doing it, but not necessarily the best to start with, would be to simply start with, I'm not compressing myself, as a general background intention. You might even say, I'm not compressing myself as I lift my center of gravity. And then I could go on with, okay, I've lifted it. Now I'm going to just merge into the one direction. I'm not compressing myself. That's a more elegant way to do it, I think. It's more Alexandrian right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, great. But I find with new people, it's probably a little easier to get them to do a bit of pure doing, but good quality doing, before introducing that. Yeah. So
no, I get it. I think I went through it the way you suggested the first time, and it definitely made it very clear what's going on at the different stages.
Right. And I think it's important to be clear what's going on with lifting versus negative saying a negative thing, a negative direction, like I'm not compressing myself. The lifting is a kind of very specific, targeted, gentle conditioning. You are activating muscles that probably haven't been activated in quite that way before.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing probably something along the lines of what Pilates people love to talk about, which is abs, firming your abs. But this is not firming your abs in the abstract. This is lifting yourself, which will generally, most people find that their abs do engage in a different way than they're used to. It's not the same as if you just pulled your stomach in or something
like
that.
Absolutely not. In fact, and I might have even mentioned this in a prior interview, but I had a student who had a habit of sucking her stomach in.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced this to her really as giving her a better way to approach that, because it definitely, that's another advantage that you didn't mention. Another benefit is that it does have a sort of nice effect on your profile, should we say.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to look good, Up with Gravity is the way to go.
Absolutely. But she found that really helpful. And and the other nice thing is it ties in with what we were just saying, is that it sort of is improving and toning that area without all the negative effects that's usually involved with all the work that people think they should do there.
Well, you're toning it in the context
of a
real life activity, like standing or walking or whatever. I mean, it's the toning is kind of almost an indirect result of the intention to lift your center of gravity.
So what would you think? This has just occurred to me. If someone does like to work out,
mm-hmm.
it seems to me that this could be a useful additional way to think about
as they
do their workout.
Yes, actually, on one of my lesson blogs, a guy who's a weightlifter, his first question was, where is your center of gravity when you're bench pressing? And as it turns out, it's more or less in the same place that it is when you're standing. There are some differences, obviously, but it's in that general area. And what he found, it was all he had to do was think about where it was, and it made his weightlifting go a lot more smoothly.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure he even got to the lifting.
Can you think of, I think it's useful for people to hear like these little specific examples. Do you have any others?
Well, here's one from my own experience, which is, again, totally accessible to anybody, where all of this stuff is really clear cut and easy to use is when you're lying down, either mm-hmm. in bed, or if you're an Alexander person, using constructive rest, which we'll put a link to that process. It's a perfect addition to constructive rest, but it also is a perfect way to go to bed at night or get up in the morning, which is, say you're lying in bed, you simply lift your center of gravity, meaning in this case you're moving it towards your head because it's a 90 degree difference. So you're lifting your center of gravity. And then you could overlap that with I'm not compressing myself, or not tensing myself, and then just let go of the lifting. And you're going to probably notice that all sorts of changes happen. Your breathing is likely to get fuller and freer. It's incredibly powerful to use when there is nothing much else going on to take you away from the process that you're working on. I mean, that's kind of the advantage.
Yeah, and I like constructive rest for experimenting with, because you can really, because you're really not doing anything else, you can really notice, and because you have the surface of the floor beneath you,
mm-hmm.
I think, or the whatever you're lying on,
mm-hmm.
you kind of have a instant feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell if you've pulled up off the
absolutely
off the ground or whatever.
Right.
So,
you have you can.
Yeah, what I've noticed, but I've experimented with that and constructive rest, is usually my contact with the floor seems greater.
Mm-hmm. And you may well notice that if you're lying on your back or even your mm-hmm. side, mm-hmm. Going to sleep. Another actually one of my students told me a way that she started using it, which is when she wakes up in the morning before just jumping out of bed, getting on with things, she'll just take a second or two to lift her center of gravity while she's lying in bed, and then overlap it with I'm not compressing myself, and then just continue with that I'm not compressing myself thought as she gets out of bed.
Nice. Yeah.
And it's amazing. I started doing that. It's incredible how useful that is. And of course, that would work perfectly with, the whole issue of how you get into and out of the constructive rest position has always been a topic of some debate. But that is an amazing way to get off the table or get off the floor if you're doing constructive rest as well.
Yeah, send you on your way in the right.
If you think about it,
we don't like to use the right way, do we?
But the whole thing about constructive rest is, you know, it's nice, but it's nice mainly is in terms of how it's going to be useful for your real life
afterwards. Yeah,
yeah. And this is a wonderful way to take the releases that you've got. Maybe even give them a little extra boost by lifting your center a bit towards your head and then overlapping it when I'm not compressing, and then just taking that intent right into getting onto your feet.
You're good to go, right?
Absolutely. And just a final... I just want to say a final thing really briefly. So the lifting part is a kind of conditioning, but it isn't 100% precise. That is, you're lifting in the context of your old habits, and you may well be lifting in a way that's not perfect or not as good as it could be. And that's where the I'm not compressing is so amazing, because I've done experiments of standing up straight in the old-fashioned way, lifting my chest, arching my lower back. So I am standing up straight in a way that Alexander teachers would hate, and I would hate to stay there.
Yeah.
And then overlap that with I'm not compressing myself. And the amazing thing is that the unhelpful parts of that standing up straight dissolve, and I'm left with being up easily lifted upright, but not in that harmful way. And then when I let go of any idea of standing up straight or anything up, I'm just not compressing myself. I'm pretty much in a similar place that I would be if I did it the better way.
That's so interesting. I've been trying that out and sitting here talking to you, and
anyone, and I like to emphasize that anyone can learn this stuff. We're kind of today talking, we're kind of assuming that the listener has had some experience with it, but if you haven't, it's so easy to get that experience and to learn the basics. It's not, this is stuff that you could learn in a day or two or an hour or two or 10 minutes. Who knows? I mean, it's really, it's not
great.
Difficult.
Well, I think that sounds like we've covered more or less everything.
We have covered it all.
I'm going to hand it back over to you to just finish up.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank my interviewer, Imogen Ragone. She's a Alexander teacher, website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. We'll put a link to her her website by the interview, and I'll also put a link to the Up With Gravity page where you can basically learn all this stuff. And also on that page is a whole page devoted to negative directions, so you can learn more about them there as well. And on that page also is a section devoted to constructive rest. So all of the things we've talked about can be accessed from the Up With Gravity website. So thanks again, Imogen.
And thank you.